As I said before, we sang in the garden, why pray? Why do we pray? I mean, God's going to do what God's going to do. You know, God has his plan for things. But we do know that God answers prayer. And God works in our lives and he listens to us. And sometimes when we pray, we see God's answers. But oftentimes we pray and we don't see God's answers. Because God works in many ways, and sometimes he answers our prayers, and by the time it comes to fulfillment, we've kind of moved on in our minds, and we don't even realize that he's answered what we prayed for maybe a few months ago. But prayer, you know, God knows what we need even better than we do. So why ask? If God already knows, why bother talking to him? Why pray for the condition of our nation and our world when we know God's doing what God's going to do? You know, God's working. So why pray? Well, it comes down to communication. And when you think about it, you and I rely so much on verbal communication. We really desire communication. For many people right now, with, you know, being stuck at home, you know, they miss somebody to talk with. You know, we need to hear other people's voices. We need actually to hear our own voice in communication. We need to hear what other people have to say. And there are many reasons why communication is important, but even for a little baby, when a child is born, a child needs to hear its mother's voice. It needs to hear the communication from the father and from siblings. It's part of how we learn and how we grow. Communication allows us to be able to talk with others and to think through, you know, more clearly what's in our mind and what's in our heart. Because sometimes we may think we know what we think until we have a conversation. And then we go, oh, wait a minute, no, I really don't think that way. You know, what I just said doesn't make sense. Or someone says something and it clarifies our own thinking. Communication is so important. And we all crave it. We all desire it. Two people meet, you know, and he looks at her and she looks at him and something just like, oh, you know, I want to get to know this person. What do? They start talking. They start talking. And you know, throughout your married life, you keep talking. Maybe after a while it becomes more mundane, but it's still talking. You know, you need that communication. You know, we're made in the image of God. So all this desire for communication with one another is important. And it's important for God too. So why pray? Well, we find part of the answer to that in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verses 8 and 29. Verse 8 says, "The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him." And verse 29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." You know, prayer is simply talking to God, and it pleases him. Just like we need to talk to others and we want to hear other people talk, you know, we want our spouse, we want our children, we want our friends, we want to hear from them. You know, even if it's just to hear complaints, we want to hear from them. It makes us happy to know that people want to talk to us. And likewise for God. It pleases God when we talk to him. If you've ever thought about that, but it's not a burden for God when we talk to him. He wants to hear from us. Yeah, he already knows what's on our mind and what's on our heart. But he wants to hear from us. He wants to hear our complaints. He wants to hear about our joys. He wants to hear about just the mundane things. But he also wants to hear compliment. After all, don't we all love to hear compliments? You know, oh, you know, your outfit is so pretty, what you have on today. Or I like your hairdo. Or, you know, oh, the dinner you made was just so delicious. I appreciate that so much. Or the art that you just did is so beautiful. You know, we all need to hear compliments. We compliment our children. You know, a little child draws a picture that you have no idea what it is, but they give it to you because they want you to have it. And you just rave over it. And you try not to guess what it is, you know.
Yeah.
They want to hear, they want to please you, but they also want to hear appreciation. Well, God's that way. He wants to hear appreciation. And when we read in Scripture, we see, especially in the Psalms, you know, people talking to God, complaining, people talking to God about, you know, I need this, I need that, health issues, financial issues, relationship issues. But there's also plenty of examples of praising God for his forgiveness, praising God for his love, praising God for his wisdom, his power. The list goes on and on of the things that we should be telling God. You know, God, I really appreciate this about you. Now, God already knows all that about himself, but the point is, he needs to hear from us that we appreciate him, that we recognize these things, that we don't ignore him or take him for granted, which, when life has been so busy, it's easy to get so busy that we can neglect God. Now that things have slowed down for many of us, we have more time to actually sit and say, Lord, you know, I really appreciate you. I appreciate that woodpecker outside my window that's pecking at the tree that keeps me awake. Lord, I really do appreciate your creation. Even though I grumble, I still appreciate it. I mean, God needs to hear those things. It pleases him. And the thing is, as you look at these two verses, it says the Lord listens. Literally, it says he hears the prayer of the righteous. What it means is he's listening. He's listening. We all know what it's like when you're having a conversation with someone and they've kind of zoned out, you know, and you realize you're just talking to the air, you know. God doesn't do that to us. God is always listening. He wants to hear from us, no matter what it is. And no matter whether we're in a crowd or in the privacy of our own home, he is listening to us. He wants to hear from us. But prayer, for it to please God, requires a right relationship. Doesn't mean perfect. When you think about it, you know, with our children, when they're little, they're growing up, you know, they don't always behave, they don't always do what we tell them to do, any stage along the way, you know. But you still have a good relationship. You still care about each other. You're not expecting perfection. They know you're not perfect and you know they're not perfect, but you love each other. And that's the right relationship that God has with us through Jesus Christ. And these two verses points out that God rejects the wicked. Verse 8 said, he detests the sacrifice of the wicked. These were the people of God, who would bring the sacrifices according to what the law said, but their heart was not with God. They had no relationship with God. They were busy trying to live like the people all around them, and Israel's history was full of that in the Old Testament. But they still brought the sacrifices because they thought, well, that gets me good in with God. You know, I did my little good deed for the day. Now I can go and do what I want. And God says, I detest that. Why? Because in their sacrifice, they're lying to God. The whole idea about bringing sacrifice to the altar at the temple, initially the tabernacle and then the temple, was to express appreciation for God, appreciation for his grace, appreciation for who he is. But they didn't mean it when they brought these sacrifices. It was just a ritual to them. But their heart was far from God. And God said, all you're doing is lying to me. And God detests that. And we do too, don't we? We don't like it when people lie to us, when people use us. Well, God doesn't like it either. Verse 29 said, God is far from the wicked. You know, he doesn't hang out with the wicked people. He doesn't pay any attention to them, you know, when they have need. And then, you know, we're much like that too. You know, if there's someone that we know, there's just something about that person that's just not good. They're not a nice person. Maybe they're a bully type of person. What do? We try to keep our distance. Well, that's the way God is. Not that God's intimidated. God says, you're going to be wicked. I'm not going to give you the time of day. Don't bother me because your heart's not with me, so I'm not going to pay any attention to you. That's what 29 says. But God is with the righteous. You know, 28 says the prayer of the upright pleases him, and he hears the prayer of the righteous. That means God is right here with us. I don't know if you've ever tried to talk to somebody who wasn't there. You know, If I'm here at the office and Rhonda's at home, I'm not going to sit there and say, hey, Rhonda, what's for lunch? Unless I'm on the phone. You know, how can I talk to someone who's not there? Well, you can't. And if someone walked in and said, who are you talking to? And I said, oh, I'm talking to Rhonda. They go, ooh, you know, he's lost it. You know, he's been in this lockdown too long, you know. You talk to who you're with, whether it's over the phone, because you're connected that way, or maybe you're texting or something, but you're communicating with someone that you're in contact with. And God says, because we have this relationship with him, he's in contact with us. He's in listening distance. That means he's right here. He's right here. And he listens. You know, we're not going to bore God. God's never going to find us boring. I always found with my granddaughters, no matter what their age, no matter how much trouble I had kind of understanding them, I really worked at trying to understand, what are you telling me? What do you mean by the words that you're trying to say? And as they got older, they got better at communication, understand better. But I tried to give them my attention so I understand what they're saying. Well, God is that way with us. And not only that way, but he placed his spirit within us to help us in this communication. Because sometimes we don't even know really what we really think or what we should ask God for, how we should communicate. So the Holy Spirit helps us. But he's not the replacement of our prayer life. He is within us to help us in our prayer life. So God is with us. And the whole point I wanted to make out of this today is that we pray because God wants to hear from us. God wants us to acknowledge every moment of every day that he's with us and that it's personal. It's personal. You are a unique person. While we're all similar because we're human beings, we're all made in the image of God, yet each one of us is unique. There's not another human being exactly like you. And yet, through Jesus Christ, through your faith in him, you belong to God. You have that relationship with God that is unique. No one else has that. And that hymn we just sang emphasizes that. No one else has that experience that you have with God. Now, we all have similar experiences. You know, we can all talk to God. You know, there's the basic idea there. But it's unique because you're unique. And God loves you, and you're his. So no matter what goes on in any given day, just always remember that your relationship with God is personal. It's not about church, you know. It's about you and him every day. Now, you're part of the church. You're part of the people of God. But individually, you have this relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's personal. It's personal. Let's take a few moments for some silent prayer, just a couple minutes. And what I'd like for you to do is just to pray silently whatever's on your mind and heart. Maybe there's something troubling you that you want to talk to God about. Maybe you just want to pray about the virus situation in our nation, our world. Or maybe you realize, Lord, I haven't praised you lately. I haven't said to you, I'm thankful for how wise you are and how powerful you are and how mighty you are. Maybe there's just something I haven't acknowledged lately that I need to. So whatever is on your mind and heart at this moment, let's take a couple minutes and just pray, and then I'll conclude with an audible prayer. Okay? Let's pray.